episode 28 of the Judgmental Podcast. I'm host Andrew Guns-Galea, and I'm here with Jeff Tirith-Galea. Hi, Jeff.
G'day, how you going? G'day, everybody out there.
Good.
Good to be on again on podcast.
Yeah, we haven't actually... I've done podcasts of all the different people, but I think you might have done one at the beginning or a couple at the early on. I can't remember with Judgmental. We might have done a three-way once with George. I can't remember. But anyway.
Yeah, I think so. I remember George. Yeah.
Yeah. So things have been a little bit, as everyone knows, we've been a bit hectic. I've been moving house. We haven't been able to stream for a while. First it was COVID, then we don't have the studio set up. So we're trying to get a bit more content out there in terms of the podcast, which is great. It looks like I might be doing a podcast with George over the weekend. George.
Great.
George has joined the Navy. Did you hear about this?
Well, he's on the front line as a doctor. He's been front line from the word go.
So now he's joined the Navy. And he's going away on tours and stuff. Like he's passed the medical and he's some...
Yeah.
So he's doing that, which is... Hopefully we'll hear about that on the weekend, but that's interesting. So this is part one. We're going to talk about just general how we're going and what we've been doing. Might even touch on the Guild Ball announcement that happened recently, just lightly at the end. But yeah, so Jeff, how are things going with you?
Oh, pretty COVID? Good.
Yep.
Yeah, like everyone else, locked at home. I'm actually doing work from home now. And the last few months, I've mostly been focusing on, well, the judgment part, the games, and playing a lot more music, basically.
Yeah.
It hasn't been that bad really for me, but otherwise, yeah, it's a bit weird to get used to everything. The gaming, I played a tournament just before COVID, and I'm just starting to come in there.
Mm.
Yeah, it's been a long time. I've got, it's hard to get games.
Monthly meetings at the club started once and then had to cancel again because of COVID wave two.
Yeah, it was great because they had the restrictions to 50 people in the club, and that was good. We booked tickets early.
Yeah.
And we had judgment. It was great. Had two new players we're playing with there. And then in August, we had to cancel because they put the restrictions back down to 10, which, you know, a club can't run with 10 people inside it. So
this is a club in Sydney we're talking about. What's it called again, Jeff?
A Company of Dice.
Company of Dice, that's right.
Yeah. Really good bunch of guys. All games. They play all games and they hire out a nice, it's like an RSL club, like a leagues club, I suppose. It's really great because you have drinks while you're playing all day. And it's every game you can imagine, you know, from X-Wing to GW stuff to everything. And We have a good judge. We have run a few judgment tournaments there, actually.
So those for the US were Adepticon last time I was there, which was 2019. Byron, who's the guy who come from Australia and played in the tournament there, had come third, I think. He's the main guy. He runs the club. He's the guy
we got to see through, and he organises everything. And it's great to catch up with him.
Yeah.
He broke COVID restrictions and gave me a big bear hug.
Awesome. Cool. So, with me as well, I've been working from home for months. My day job as an IT manager, I guess you could call me. So that's been interesting. I've been in the office for like 4 months. But we've got a lot of games in. We've been practising a lot of judgment, preparing for... We've got 6 weeks for the next patch, which will be... a light touch patch, we'd imagine. But we've got a lot of things in the background going on, so we had a lot of testing, which has been great, isn't it? We've had a good chance to do that.
It's been fun playing. Obviously, we haven't been streaming much either, but I've been playing a lot behind the scenes, organising. I'm actually in the middle of rewriting the core rulebook, basically, cleaning up a lot of stuff and moving it around. Anybody want to kill some time? Try writing a rule, even just one sentence of a rule. It's not as easy as you think.
To make it whole proof. Because we're also in part three of this podcast, we're going to talk about potential futures and potential version two, our thoughts on that. So that's something we'll touch on later. But when we're redoing the same rule book for the third time, you kind of sometimes think, at what stage do we start thinking about that? So we'll talk about that in part three, which is cool. Also we've had a bit of a resurgence. So we've got quiet during people have asked around how we go during COVID. I think a lot of miniature games have struggled. We don't, because when you get to a convention, you normally get a big boost of new players, obviously a big boost of money in sales. You bring out new models, and we haven't been able to do that as no one else has as well. And I think a lot of companies are struggling during the time. But we actually went okay. We did have a big dip in sales for a few months, but then last month was back to our pre-COVID levels, and this month's going well again. And we've had a lot of big boost in Europe as well. Now, this has been happening for about 6 weeks, but obviously recently there was an announcement around Guild Ball, which has seen a lot of players jump onto Discord, Jeff, hasn't it, in our judgmental group on
Yeah, I've been getting a lot
Facebook.
of players that put their name down to play in the first tournament. We'll talk about that in a moment. But yeah,
Yeah.
it's been a bit crazy. There is a lot of similarities between the two games. And
Yeah.
even in the past, people have come across and they said, oh, it's very similar and it's alternate activations and
Yeah.
those kind of things. So, and they relate to the game.
Because Guild Ball was
That's
pretty groundbreaking. That was about a year before us. And they did a lot of things that were pretty good at the time. At the time, they had, open rule book you could download, paper dolls. They did a vassal module and a lot of the things that we did,
Yeah.
afterwards. So they did do a lot of good stuff at the time. So just might touch on that now while we're talking about it. It's pretty topical in the industry at the moment, was that Steamforge Games announced that they are no longer supporting or developing the game Guild Ball. It's been canned. They gave like a month's notice, I think, out of the blue, so it seems to catch a lot of the community by surprise, even though there's been speculation for a while that things haven't been fantastic with terms of the game getting developed. But yeah, it's been a bit of a furor online. Jeff, you've been taking a look at that?
Yeah, look, it's I really know Jamie P personally from the WTC, of course, and lovely guy, really quiet. And I saw one of his tweets the other day. He's obviously feeling it. He isn't
Well, he's lost
really.
his job as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, some people can
Yeah.
be harsh, of course, but he seems to be a in a in a it's a management decision as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really a lot of people don't. It's tough to run a business like this. It's very competitive. And people think, you're making all this money, and it's really a lot of hidden things that you can't see happening. So you've got to sort of like cut a bit of slack, I suppose, to everybody. I even don't, I used to criticize, the big ones like GW, and even now I don't do that anymore because it's not that when you get put yourself in that situation, it's a lot of things that people don't know that go on behind the scenes to keep a modeling, a company based on selling models, miniatures, to keep it afloat.
It's also that, I mean, they haven't really, I mean, they did a bit lengthy post. Look, so when I lived in England for 3 years, I knew Matt Hart and Rich Loxham personally. I played War Machine with them, against them. I knew them really well. I was there in 2012 when they kind of started kicking around about a new game they wanted to make. They started Steamforged as a streaming website for miniature games before they had a game. So these are normal guys, right? Like you and I, and who have been in the industry for a while. To their credit, Steamforge Games got really big. They had a couple of big Kickstarters with some of their other titles. But like, yeah, it is tough. I think they've been at it. So they've been at Guild Ball for 6 years since the Kickstarter. That's a long time. They're kind of in their post. I don't know anything behind the scenes. I haven't spoken to them at all. But you get the from just reading the post, it looked like they just kind of ran out a bit of momentum, ran out of ideas, and decided for their own reasons, the best thing to do was to stop the game. So it's interesting. I mean, I feel for Jamie P. He's put his heart and soul into it. He's not one of the founders, but he was obviously, as far as I know, he's lost his job. So yeah, it's not great. But yep, anyway, these things happen. But what has happened has a lot of people have sort of had a look at a lot of different games, including ours. We've had a bit of a flux of people coming in, which is great. So hopefully they'll enjoy what they see, and we could get them to stay with us, Jeff.
Yeah, for sure. I think our community is really positive and strong, and it's very friendly. You want to try to keep it that way on the Discord. It's based on Discord, but it spills over everywhere. The models always catch people in, and we've got a lot of painters, really high-profile painters that stream weekly, about our models. So there's a lot. I feel there's a lot going for our game. It's similar. All games borrow ideas from each other, so it's similar to a few games out there as well.
Yep.
But let's see how we go. I'm excited about this new tournament. Well, again,
So yeah, let's take us a good segue into part two. So we'll have a short break and be back for part two of the podcast, which is going to talk about the revitalized JNAC. So stick around. Welcome to part two of episode 28 of the Judgmental Podcast. I'm once again joined by Jeff, co-owner and designer of the game. Hey, Jeff.
G'day again, going everybody.
Cool. So, yes, this part we're going to talk about the JNAC. Now, the Judgment North American Championship is something we launched last year. We had a number of tournaments leading up to Warfare Weekend, where we ran a championship event, which was really big. It was really well supported. And Jeff, you flew over there to St. Louis to run it, didn't you?
Yeah, it was a great time. It was magical. Such a good vibe, and so many new players come on to watch it. Really exciting. We had the, as I said, one of the biggest things was the noob event that's had over 16 players. That's players who actually never heard of the game and just bought models that weekend. And that we ran an event for them, which was great. And then, of course, the final, the Masters, was a big event as well, which we streamed.
Yeah, now, so we had this awesome first year of the Judging North American Championship. Game was growing, thinking year two is going to be amazing. And of course,
We've
COVID
got our
hit.
accommodation. Yeah,
COVID
both of
hit.
us were going.
Yep. So we went, Adepticon got cancelled, and well, the weekend we got cancelled. So even though we had a couple of physical tournaments in the US that contributed points, we ended up, then we did a couple of online ones. But when we heard Warfare Weekend was gone, we decided we were. We kind of paused everything and thought, well, what do? We have now decided to run the rest of the JNAC online. We're going to do the whole thing through Wartable, which is super exciting. This is just something we announced a couple of days ago, and we've announced three qualifiers. You're running the first one, Jeff, and you've already got 14 players signed up in 24 hours. Is that right?
Already, and I've got to say, over half of them. Well, there's a, there's a lot that early on, I think when we all got into this COVID restrictions, already, the us nerd guys were loving it because we were just playing games, and there were a lot of tournaments, and I think it got a little bit saturated. So we had a big break, but it now seems that people are keen again. So
Yeah.
yeah, we're back to 14 players already, and I know there's a lot of the more regular players that haven't put their name down yet. They maybe haven't even seen it yet because we just made the announcement
Yeah, we might top 20, I
yesterday.
think. I was looking at the numbers and the names.
Yeah. So a thing on that, it's capped at four rounds regardless because we don't need an outright winner. It's for points. This is a points qualifier for the final, which will be November, probably late
Yep,
November, we're
that's
thinking.
right. Yep.
We are very welcome to new players as well. A bunch of new players have jumped on. Just go in there and have a go,
Yeah,
right?
so we kind of run them over 3 weeks. They're not like a weekend thing, so you get a week, normally 5 days to play your game.
Yeah.
The community is super good. Like, everyone's so keen for more people to play, so they'll help you out learning War Table as well as the game. So yeah, this is the first one. Now, this is a 3 versus 3 pick and ban, Jeff.
Yep, and
Yep.
I've made the first two rounds on the cobblestone as well, so it's a bit cleaner. And the third round, by then, we should have a bit more of a hangout. We're playing the swamp,
Yep.
which also is a bit more tricky to get used to. But yeah, pick and ban, just need five heroes for the new guys out there.
And obviously
I'm
they're
sure you.
virtual heroes, so you can own no models and play. So you
Yeah, and
can
yeah,
actually.
everything on there is legal. Even Grail, who hasn't been released, Grail the Goblin,
And
Soulgazer,
Cradle, she hasn't been released either, has
and
she? So.
Cradle. Yeah, so. Yeah, and with threes, it can be a quick game, and War Table doesn't really slow you down. Like in a lot of online games, get clunky. War Table's quite quick because it basically cuts out the measuring need because it's already there for you,
Yep.
and it's really easy to learn. So, yeah, and people are already getting game. Today, I was watching this, two or three games going already with new guys getting the hang of it. So,
Now, I know we called it the Judgment North American Championship, but this is actually
yeah.
open to everybody because it's online. So people from the EU have already signed up, people from Australia have signed up. So
Canada already, yep.
we'll do our best in the early rounds of the events to match up people in the same time zone. But if you go deep into the tournament, there's a chance you'll have to work it out with your opponent. But it should be, we've done it in the past and it seems to have
Yeah,
worked, which is great.
we've got a Canadian invasion. I think there's a lot of players from
Yeah,
Canada coming
Canada's great. There's
across,
been a burst of Canada for sure.
and Europe. The Europeans have asked. So yeah, now the Aussies have come out of the wood. Yeah, all of a sudden we put it up there, and all these players have come out. Even the Aussie friends who we haven't heard of for a few weeks,
Yeah.
they're keen to jump on, and designing war bands already. So it's exciting.
Now, this is the first qualifier, which will go, I think we've got another 12 days before the registrations close. And then the second one is going to be run by Cheddar Caveman, Chad Kaufman from Chicago. So he's running a 5v5 pick and ban event. And the third one, we haven't announced who's running it, but it'll be either one of us or one of the community guys. And that will be potentially a full draft all the way through. We'll see how we go. If we don't have enough, if it's not enough experienced people, we will scale that back, but that should be fun. And then the final itself. So there's a points table on the website. If you go to About Judgment North America Championship, you can see the current table. David Wenke is currently leading on 22 points, I think, from memory, because we've got some. But even if you start now with three qualifiers, there's still plenty of points for you to make the top 16. Who go into, well, it's top 15 because Shane York has, who won last year's, has confirmed he's taking his auto spot.
I think he confirmed because he didn't
He
confirm
has.
to me.
He
Okay, I've
confirmed
got
to
to put him,
me.
well,
Yep.
that puts us to
So
15.
it's top 15 of the points will get into the qualifier. We're going to do some prize. We'll work it out somehow. it should be a fairly decent one. So yeah, that's cool.
And David's put the challenge out, David Vanke, the number one, he wants to keep his spot.
He does. Yeah.
So that means bounty, guys, knock him off.
So this is good. This will keep us in touch with the community, keep everybody interested, and then we'll look to launch properly. Well, I say next year, but I don't, at this point, there's no guarantee anything's going to change before Adepticon next year, but we're hopeful that it does, as everyone else does. So hopefully next year we'll be back to some form of normal and we can start having physical events and conventions, and Jeff and I can come back out to the States again, which would be great.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So if you're interested, please get in touch with us. Jeff and I are all over the social media or Discord or even contact@judgment.game for email address. So just get in touch and we can help you get started with the game and maybe in one of these events. So anything else on the JNAC, Jeff, before we move on?
Yeah, look, and it does sound official, but, you know, it's still just a tournament, an online tournament to have some fun, guys, right? They don't feel intimidated at all. And even good thing about Judgment, I like to say, is even when you are getting smashed, you still get to hit back because it's, you know, the alternate activation, so you can have a crack, basically. I actually have released the maps on Facebook and on the Discord, yeah.
Yep.
So the first game is actually map 2 from the Cobblestone, the 3v3. So if you want to check it out, that's the first game. So get familiar with that if you'd like it. You know, you can get your deployment ready or whatever. So.
And how much, Jeff, do you think knowing the maps before would influence you if you were playing in the event with terms of your selection? Would you take it into consideration?
It would. The first thing I look for is how many maps have got 2 or 1 soul pits.
Yeah.
Because and that kind of thing. Looking at where the shrines are and the effigies to see how many heroes you might need to contest and things like that. But what I have picked a mix. I think I've got 2 maps with 1 soul pit and 2 maps with 2, and I've tried to keep the shrines at the back, the effigies at the back as well for this first event. But a lot of people would look at it and see what there is there, see much cover there is and whatnot. So
to give you an idea, yeah. Right? So if you've got 1 soul pit, then a soul gazer becomes pretty strong because they can theoretically get a soul every turn if you dominate the soul pit. So yeah. And if you've got 2 soul pits, they're not as great because they've got alternating turns when a soul pit won't spawn on your side.
If it's two like white soul pits, you know, it's things like Bal and Sana step up correct. A notch as well, and Victor,
because they can teleport. For those who don't know, Bal and Sana and Victor can teleport to either the souls or soul pits. So having more on the board makes them a lot more versatile.
And it brings players like Zarin that can actually reach both soul pits with his skeletons into play. The faster ones, where Svet is. You know, Svetlana is probably regarded as one of the best soul gazers. When it's 2 wide souls, she loses a bit of power because getting across is difficult.
Yeah.
Things like that.
There's things to consider. I mean, if you want to play either the undead or any 3 of the undead which are available, which is Cradle for Zeal and Zim, you've got to remember they can't contest shrines, so you need to make sure that you can have models that can contest. And also, they're quite good at denial, so if you don't want to go no soul gazers, you can use them to actually remove the souls on the board.
That's right. Which is you can heal yourself or you can do damage.
Yeah, it's a good counter to some people who play the soul pit game, the soul game. Yeah. So, yeah, a lot to think about when you are putting together your 5s. You need to have a model that can drop a model. You need to have some damage in your list. Yeah. It's not like 5s where you can get away with it, playing the long game. It doesn't seem to work so much in 3s. So, I know we're talking about this is a great bit of tactics for people who are new, but you need to think about damage in a 3s game. And remember, if you get banned, you need to have coverage of the stuff you want to do. So you need to probably have 2 really good damage dealers in your 5. So at least one won't get banned. Yep.
The other thing is on the 3s, killing monster first turn is a lot easier to get done. So maybe have that sword. Like a lot of the maps, the gloom is really, you know, you can get 2 heroes charging gloom off the bat straight away, right? So maybe think early on, oh, my goal is to level up this hero and you can set it up for them. You know, things like that. So that's another important thing.
Remember in 3s, a lot of those monsters are on the middle line, so they're contested. So you got to be really careful around tactics, around how low you drop them. And if your opponent's going to steal it, make sure you're in a position to punish them afterwards. So, yeah, it's pretty interesting. Yeah. It's really good. Going first and second is interesting in 3s because first you get first dibs at the contested monsters, but if you don't drop it straight away, they get a chance to steal it. So it's...
Yeah.
Kind of interesting. But it's a fun game. It's very quick normally when the 2 players know what they're doing. So Yeah, it's a really good format. I'm really excited about seeing some of the games. And we'll stream some when we can as well, obviously, which should
So
be
on that
cool.
first and second, if you win the dice roll, you can choose if you want to go first or second, and the other person can then choose the table side,
That's
basically.
right. Yep.
So I can win if I choose to go second. I don't get to choose the table side. If you, whatever,
Yeah.
you get to choose the table side or go first or second.
That's
That's
right.
basically how it works out.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And yeah, so yep, so if you want to post your war bands and get some feedback, definitely post them in the in Discord or on Facebook, and Jeff and I and a bunch of other people would definitely give you some pointers. You've got 12 days to decide your war band, so
Yeah,
yeah.
on threes, it's one, fives and threes are both competitive, but on threes, you can't really cover everything. So don't try to cover everything. You can't have aggressive defense, so I'll go all covered with three here. It's not enough. So don't try to do it. Oh, you can go all, I suppose all the hybrids and all the, support. But some people, like I saw a guy who's got three aggressors and two soul gazers. That's a great idea,
Yeah, and the
right?
thing is as well, I always think about my band as part of my composition of my war band, right? So you can leave a weakness, but knowing that you've got that band to ban a model that might take exploit that weakness in your war band. So yeah, your banning is also part of your composition. So if you keep that in mind, yeah, you could be stand you in good stead for sure. Okay, so that was part two was good. We talked about the JNAC and warband theory for the JNAC, which is great. We're gonna have a quick break now. We'll come back for part three, which is talking about a bit of the future and our thoughts on version two. Stay tuned. Welcome to part three of episode 28 of the Judgmental Podcast. I'm here with my co-host Jeff Tirith Galea. Hello, Jeff.
Hello, good day, everybody.
Cool. In part three, we're going to talk about the future of Judgment, the longevity of miniature games, and our thoughts on that, and also our thoughts on second edition of Judgment or other games. This is a hot topic at the moment with Guild Ball just recently being wound up by the creators Steamforge Games after 6 years. And there's a lot of learnings in there for a lot of game designers. And we look at games like War Machine, the Hordes, and Malifaux, Infinity. Some of these games have been around for 12 years or so, and interesting to see. So we've had a lot of questions about us, about Judgment. For those, Judgment has been 4 years since our first Kickstarter. We had a very light on first year or two, so I kind of feel like the game is kind of 2 years old, really, because that's 2 years since we've had a decent player base, I guess. Jeff, what do you think about that?
Yeah, it took a while. We couldn't. I think there was a time when we said, "Okay, now I've officially got the game."
Yeah.
It was when we officially launched
Well, it was
the
the second
Kickstarter.
Kickstarter as well, right? Because,
After that was, yeah, after that was completely fulfilled,
yeah.
and then we started like, "Okay, now it's just purely on retail and how good the game design is and how it grows and push as much as we can."
Because first Kickstarter, because we didn't unlock everything, we had like 12 models. It was still like a beta version of the game. And then we did Kickstarter 2, which involved a brand new starter box. And for me, once we shipped that, which was another, 8 months after that, is when I consider it. And I think it's about 2 years. So we are pretty, even though Jeff and I have been at it for a long time, it's really, in our minds, fairly new game. 2 years, I think. Now, there's no, I mean, Warhammer's been around for an eternity, 40K and fantasy and that kind of stuff. And I think there's something to talk about there, because GW have made massive, bold moves in the past with second edition of the games, killing off armies completely, rewriting the fluff and the history, and they've managed to always recover and keep a big fan base. I think there's a lesson in there that reading into the just all I've got is no insider trading. I'm just reading what Steamforge put out, but I got the impression they kind of felt with the player base they didn't feel empowered to be able to make a big call, the calls they thought were necessary to revitalize the game. What are your thoughts on Judgment, Jeff? Or what are your thoughts on that, first of all? Because you're a big War Machine player, and they kind of just, I mean, I'll be honest, they kind of bungled a couple of extra editions where they didn't do a reset that people were looking for. What are your thoughts?
So again, go back as far as the GW go, those look, I really think sometimes a game will become stale and you get the old players, and I was one of the old players, and I've been playing for 5 or 6 years, even 10 years, who don't want the change because they're on top of the pile. They know every stat off by heart. They're competitive and they're strong. And any upheaval, it's a reset. But I think as a company and getting new, young, fresh players in, that reset is really important. I'll be honest, I play War Machine a lot, and I thought personally when Mark III came out, it was sort of like it didn't refresh how I wanted it to refresh. I was hoping for this new thing, but
instead of creating a resurgence, it created a kind of negative ripple of the things that people thought that were going to reset and again, fix, they didn't do, right?
And again, talking on the outside, and I have no idea behind the scenes what the pressures are from the community, from the business, from all these different areas, right? You don't know what's behind the scenes, but just as a player, to me, I thought it lacked that bit of kick. But when Fantasy died, I was Warhammer Fantasy. I was very upset when that happened, right? So it's a bit of both-edged sword, but I do think you have to keep developing to keep it going.
Now, the thing for me is that we haven't touched on yet. The reason why I believe hard resets are required is because the barrier of entry becomes higher and higher as a game gets older and older, because every game grows in the number of miniatures and options and rules that it has.
Yeah.
A lot of game designers inherently assume prior knowledge when they write rules. It's very hard as a game designer to not do that. To write a rule that doesn't assume prior knowledge once you've been doing it for a couple of years is very difficult. So you're writing these rules that require prior knowledge, and a new person comes along and doesn't have that prior knowledge, and all of a sudden it's very difficult barrier of entry. And I think all the games we talked about already have suffered from that, right? Like it's been difficult. And I think the Seaboard Guide said that it was very hard for new players to come in. They actually, the quote what they wrote was, you win your first game as a demo and lose your next 100. Now, War Machine has a similar thing with that as well.
Yeah, so it's not just the winning and losing. It also is the model count, right?
Yeah.
You know, people come in and you look at a game and it's like 20 factions, and each faction becomes a sub-faction. What do you buy, right? It's even similar to Judgment. People coming in, we've got 54 heroes?
What? I wish we did. Sorry. No, we've got like 30,
sorry,
34.
Sorry.
34. Yeah. I wish we had 54. No.
The people come in and it's at least we've got it, subdivided, get a couple of aggressors, couple of defenders. It's a bit easy to get into.
And there's things as well on the side of that people might not think about. It's not just new players, right? It's retailers can't stock the entire range when it gets too big. Shipping and fulfillment and just is a nightmare. Like even for us with... I think we might have 50 SKUs with all the monsters and all the tokens and stuff like that. That's small, right? When you, I think War Machine's got 1,000. So you're looking at
GW, you'd be thousands,
more. Yeah, you're kind of, these are all growing pains that a game has. You need to keep it interesting with new releases, and we've pretty much done maybe 3 or 4 heroes a year, which I think is about right, but. But people have already asking us, so what are you going to do? Like, I mean, the origins of Judgment are from MOBAs, even though we're diverging from that now slowly because it's not a MOBA, it's actually a miniature game. But the MOBAs have like 250 heroes or 300 heroes. And when you start the game now, you're just like, what? Like, it's hard, right? So people are asking us with Judgment, what are the plans? And I think that's one of the things we'll talk about in a minute. What are some of the options in our heads for potentially second editions, or what we think about a second edition? Because another thing we do in Judgment is we update the rules every 3 months with patches, which is something that not a lot of games did. And that kind of, our game is 1.5 at least now compared to the start, right, Jeff? Because we've changed core rules, haven't we, as well?
Yeah. And as new heroes come out, it can affect other heroes, a ripple-on effect, and we change a core rule to suit that.
I mean, we changed the way stun works. We've changed the way curse works. We've done a whole bunch of core rule changes but we haven't changed the edition. It's still version 1, but we call it 1.14 or whatever, because 1.11, we've had 11 patches.
Yeah, like our rule book that's in the actual starter box, which is still a good starter box, is got a few things that are outdated.
It has, yeah.
The good thing about it, everybody's online these days, right? And everybody can access it for free. Yeah. So And that's a lot, all companies are doing that now. Like a lot of the new games, I've noticed you can just download everything for free as well, the rules, the maps and whatever, and the cards. So
So the
it's the
question
way to go.
comes, the question for me that I've been pondering for a while as a game designer of Judgment, and talking to Jeff about it is, is there a point where we think a second edition is required? If we did that, what would be the reasons to make us think that's something we should do? And I've got a couple of ideas that I think, like, say for example, Jeff and I have talked about platform rules to have 3D, so you have three-dimensional combat. We've talked about bloating, like having some kind of factional-based something, like to represent, to segment off the hero pool in some way, so that a new player can just pick a segment and play that and just learn that and not worry about having to know everything. So there's some sort of faction system. Is it possible for Judgment? Is the platform rules? There's do we do things like we've touched on hero units. Is that something we want to do? Does that require a reset? We've talked about a bigger version of the game on a 4x4 map with 9 heroes. Is that an opportunity? So I think what we've done with COVID is because we've had to forcibly slow down our production, we've had a lot of time to reflect on what we've done and really map out what we're going to do next phase when things come back to normal. What do you think, Jeff, about a second edition?
Yeah, look, not only that, it also the minute you do that, it gets everyone's attention, even people that know the game and haven't looked at it, right? It likes they go, oh, it's a new edition, let's check it out, see what it's about, right? It'll instantly get this interest as well.
It's a
It's because
fantastic
we
point. That's a fantastic point because it's a, as a,
straight away,
yeah.
new players go, oh, they've got a new edition, let's check it out, right? I'll be honest, right? I've never played Guildball, right? But when something new came out, a new edition straight away. I paid attention to it because I saw it everywhere. I knew it. Check it out a bit. I've been checking out. I keep in touch with every game. I've looked at the 40K edition that's come out. I'm speaking to people who play that game. I'm looking at now, of course, looking at Warcaster, the PP game. But every new when something new like that comes out, the attention gets focused on it straight away.
So, because
Okay.
if you played a game, if you see a game like Infinity, right, whatever, just or Malifaux, and it's been around for 10 years, I'm probably not inclined to go look at it. But if they go, "Hey, Malifaux 2.0 is coming out, 2.0 is coming out, the game's changing a lot," I noticed Blood Bowl this announced they're bringing out a new edition, which I'm
Yeah,
quite
heard that too.
excited about personally. Like, I think it's version 3, so you instantly think, "Well, it might be a good time to jump in because it's going to reset." So I think for us, a version 2 of Judgment would need to have enough difference to make it fresh that a new player could come in, and they're not too disadvantaged with existing players. And I think that's something that I think we're starting to build a case for it. I believe there is a case for Judgment to reset and introduce some really cool things, and I think that would be a moment where we diverge from MOBAs. We've kind of stayed true to it up to this point, and we've being guided by MOBAs when we make decisions. I think if we went version 2, we would break the shackles and become a game, like a skirmish combat game.
Even as a player, I remember every game I've played, when a new edition comes out, you get that excitement, right? Okay, it's the same game, I know what's going on, but everything's slightly different. You want to try everything all over again because that slight change makes it more exciting for you as well. So it's not only for the new players, it's existing players as well. It just gets you
And it's a delicate balance, right? It's a delicate balance between pissing off your entire existing players and making it open to new players. I think there's a definite way you could do it. I think there's always going to be an element of people, like you mentioned earlier, that don't like change and are going to be against change. But I think as a game designer, I think you need to do it. I think you need to be bold enough to make those decisions. And because Guildball didn't bring it, Guildball never had a second edition. Guildball had
Okay,
six
then.
seasons.
Okay,
Similar to us, but never did a reset.
I
So.
also think, like you said, people get upset when a new edition comes out, but people also get upset when it's the same and same and no new edition's coming out. They start asking for a new edition, right? So it goes both ways, that thing
You know what the
about the.
issue is, right? The people who get upset for no change are pretty quiet and normally just walk away from the game. The people who are upset when you bring a new edition are the vocal ones.
I remember that classic video of some guy burning his army. Was it a
War
GW army?
machine. That was
Warhammer.
Warhammer.
It was like a couple of $1,000 painted army. Probably you've all seen it, but it's a few years ago now.
That
He
became a
literally burnt
meme, I
it.
think, because,
It was a YouTube clip. He's actually burning his models,
yeah, it
right?
was
It was like,
hilarious.
Yeah.
So it was unreal.
Sell it and give the money to charity or something. But no, it was a that just captured everything.
Cool. Right. So yeah, I think what we'll yeah, it's something we'll Jeff and I will talk about over the next few months. We might be a bit more vocal. This is the first time we've ever entertained publicly a second edition, but it's something that is in our minds. It's something we do consider as we bring about change. I mean, we're about to hit the 12th patch. That's 4 years of patches, right? So whilst the game is, we just said it really in our mind, it's 2 years old, we have had four, that's right, isn't it? 12, what am I talking about? Yeah, that's right. Four, I think I'm right. That's right, 4 years, Jeff, isn't it? You do four a year. No, it's three. It's 3 years. 3 years of patches, because it's four patches a year. We do quarterly patches. So there's 3 years of patches. So that's, yeah, that's a fair amount of time patching a game. But yeah, anyway, we'll see how we go. I think that's something, it's a good topic to talk about. Right, so that's about us, Jeff, for this podcast episode. It was good. Hopefully you liked it, listeners out there. If you do, please let us know. Please let us know what you'd like to hear more of us talking about. I am going to try to do an episode with George and other people as I can along the way, but I think Jeff and I doing podcast episodes every now and again is quite cool. Probably good for you, hopefully, as well. So,
And can I say, but now that the JNX app and running, we can even do podcasts on the warbands that have,
yeah.
because people have submitted their warbands beforehand, and we can start actually discussing results. And we're going to be streaming more games as well now, which online, but we still work. So
Jeff, before we go, parting words. What's your favorite? What? Who do you think is the most powerful hero in the game at the moment?
Fazil.
Oh, these are mine. I say Fazil. I put Fazil on Discord a
Well,
week ago, and you put like, no,
Nefini.
Nefini. You put
Yeah,
Nefini.
because I played for Fazil like three or four times in the last week and been smashed and won with him. But I have to say, my biggest ban would, and my biggest first pick would probably be Astarion
Yeah, my
every
ban.
time.
You and I always ban Astara.
Yeah, so
Or,
she's
or.
pro so she'd probably have to be way up
She's
there.
always in our war bans, and she often gets banned.
So I've got a super war band here, and I've got Fazil and Astarion in it. So that's my two.
Yeah,
I know.
my championship war band has got Fazil, Astarion, and Zim in it. So I have a backup for Astarion if she gets banned. But yeah.
Yeah, see some guys like Alan Deere and whatever, but but you like Rakira. I thought Rakira was number one. So,
Yeah, oh, I don't know. Feels good, man. All right, excellent. Well, thank you very much. Thanks for listening. Let us know what you think, and we'll talk to you guys soon.